Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The crazy thing about it is that, you know, it's a playoff football team we played. We should be 1-2. We haven't played like it at all. You know, as much as we've lost guys and gone down and everything else, we still can battle against some of the best. And so what we have to do is understand that, keep developing the young guys like Jalen. And I think Kendall's such a special guy. You know, guys up front, like I said, Luke, he meant to play, you know, obviously quite a bit here. So, you know, sometimes your name's called and we had to go.
Did that just... Was that an admission, concession speech there by Russell Wilson? Was that him saying, yep, time to start looking at young players and turn the page to next year?
I don't know that that was that. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation is young players are going to have to play. Kendall Hinton looked good yesterday. You still have chances to win. But again, I don't buy into the, we're so close, right?
Eight of their nine games have been one score games.
That's close. Like, I understand that, but you're not. You're close score wise, but you're really not close. You're not close from the standpoint of being able to win in those times. You know, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Every one of their games is a one score game. They've won them all. So there's something different. And you could sit there and point to, oh, well, they have more this, or they have more talent, or they have more that. Right? Well, Justin Jefferson wasn't considered more talented, was he, than Jerry Jeudy? No, he's just become way better.
Boy, that catch he made.
He's
holy smokes.
That dude's a freak show.
Considering the moment, considering it was 4th and 18 on the road in Buffalo, in that environment, weather, all that, to me, it was the greatest catch I've ever seen.
You're talking about that being the game of the year so far.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Next in four down.
Second down.
Yeah, I think you can always go on a run in this league. I really do. I think if we can keep some guys healthy, get some guys back, hopefully get Jerry back, get KJ back, back, all these different guys, game plan for those guys and get a good plan. You have to adjust during the game when things like that happen. But I think in this league, you always have an opportunity to go on a run if you can get everybody clicking together.
Look, at the beginning, Nathaniel Hackett's optimism, unyielding optimism was just, it was refreshing, it was fun, it was cool. Now it's annoying. I'm sorry, it's just annoying. Broncos country has had enough of this. Do you realize that, guess what, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, and now Nathaniel Hackett all have in common? In each of their first years, they were all 3-6.
We're back.
That's right. So we're trending.
We're
trending properly.
So we know how the first two worked out. Something tells me it's not going to be any different with this guy.
He was high.
I don't. Again, Mike, if we get Jerry Jeudy back, if we get this back, I'm sorry. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's injured.
Everybody's got
issues.
They have had an extraordinary run of injuries.
I don't care.
But and maybe you could say, you know what? These injuries will keep them from being able to make the playoffs or go deep in the playoffs. How about that? But it doesn't excuse this record. It doesn't excuse the play of this offense. They've been banged up on defense. They've lost their fair share of guys on defense.
Mike, if you score...
Justin Simmons, right. Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, Bradley Chubb wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, Simmons didn't play yesterday. Yeah, I mean, 18 points. If you score 18 points in regulation...
That's it.
You're 8-1.
8-1.
You've
18,
got,
that's it.
You've got the best record in the AFC.
If all you do is score 18 points
a game. All you do is score 18 points a game. So, I don't want to hear about, we've had injuries.
That makes me sick. A lot of this
18,
stuff.
Like
18. 18. Not 19. Not 20.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about practice. I'm talking about 18.
You don't even have to reach 20 points. If they had scored 18 points in every game in regulation this season, no more than 18, just 18, they'd be 8-1.
Next. That's insane.
That's insane. That's... There's some pretty amazing numbers out there when it comes to trying to define the Broncos' ineptitude on offense.
That may be the craziest number I've ever seen.
Oh, I might have some more for you.
I
might have more for you.
If we scored 18 when I was playing, we'd be punished. You only scored 18. Shanahan would punish us. We're going to come in early. We're going to run. We're going to look at this. We're going to berate you. Just absolutely eviscerate you in film, make you feel like you're about 3 inches tall. 18 points.
Next and 4 down.
Wow. Third down.
I was proud of Michael. You know, usually I get Michael out early and I bring him back. And, you know, he was shooting it so well and had a rhythm going. I just flipped him and Jamal. So 31 points for him. He only had one rebound. I've said this a lot this season. You know, I can tell that Michael is truly making a concerted effort on the defensive end. And this is the best effort, most consistent effort I've ever seen him give. I'm very, very proud of him for doing so.
Glowing. That's glowing good. Recap for Michael Porter Jr. from head coach Michael Malone and the Nuggets 126-103 win over the Bulls in Chicago last night as they were able to cleanse away their awful performance on Friday against the Celtics. So, MPJ, am I going too far out? Is it too cut and dry to say Michael Porter Jr. himself is the X factor in how far the Nuggets go this season?
Ooh. Really?
Well, with the idea of being Jokic is Jokic. Gordon is Gordon. Jamal Murray, when healthy, is Jamal Murray. But if you're talking about what could tip the balance the Nuggets' way to the point where they make it to the Western Conference Finals or beyond, yeah, I think the X variable is Michael Porter Jr. You get games like last night, this is a team that can go to the NBA Finals. Truly.
I love Michael Malone.
But he's so up and down.
Right. I love Michael Malone, though, just praising his defensive effort. That's what we need out of you. Or is that just because you got to play him, so you're just trying to...
No.
I think there is... Again, you don't have to be talented, although that kid is incredibly talented, but you don't have to be talented to give effort on the defensive end of the court.
Next and 4 down.
1, 2, 3.
Fourth down.
Yeah, it was great. I mean... right on the forecheck, physical, holds a guy up, like overpowers one guy, draws a penalty. You know, I mean, I thought he was fantastic tonight.
That's sad, because Jared Bednar's normally, we know regular season Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Not post Stanley Cup where he just is crying all the time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about regular season Jared Bednar, cool as ice. So yeah. For him to come out and talk about Cale Makar, who had 2 goals the other night in their win over Carolina. Hey, we got Miko Rantanen, we got Nathan MacKinnon. I know everyone goes gaga over Connor McDavid. For my money, if I'm starting a hockey team right now, I'm building around Cale Makar. Guy can dominate on both ends of the ice. Both ends of the ice. He's the best 200-foot player in hockey.
Well, we got a couple of them.
I know.
Because Nathan MacKinnon can play 200
feet,
too.
I know. It's 1 and 1A.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good way to build your team, right?
Not bad. Not bad. Maybe that's why Jared Bednar, over the top with emotion the other day. You could just hear it in his voice. That's right. That is what is going on in 4 down territory. Coming up, it's a Bronco Reaction Monday. Your chance to vent and just get it out. Get it out. Get it all out. Get it all out. Come on now. This is the time. We'll do it with you next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
When you talk about the offensive ineptitude of the Denver Broncos, some of the numbers, some of the stats, some of the historical benchmarks that this offense is reaching low to match. First time since the 1946 Steelers that an NFL team has been number one in points allowed and dead last in points scored. It's never happened in the modern era. Got to go back to 1946. How about this? This is the first time, Andrew Mason put this out, this is the first time in Broncos history, that they have failed to reach 24 points in a single game at least once in their first nine games.
Wow.
So Broncos, going back to 1960, have never gone this deep into a season without scoring at least 24 points. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Denver scored 24 or more points seven times last season.
Please stop.
The halcyon days of Pat Shurmur, when they practiced incompletions.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
The offense.
Sometimes there's not much scoring in the first half of games.
The offense that featured Pat Shurmur, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Locke was an offensive juggernaut compared to this.
Wow.
Some reaction on this Bronco Reaction Monday on the text line. Dave in Pueblo, that game yesterday made me really miss the bye week. Should have been worse. Russ should have thrown three picks.
That's true.
We're lucky that DBs had butterfingers. They're true. There were a few.
He did launch a few. Just launch a few up.
It's spicy.
Yeah, the one in the end zone that, well, Tyree Cleveland broke one up like a DB. Was it him that broke it up? I think it was Cleveland that broke it up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So there was that one. You won't watch. Yeah, you're right. There should have been probably three picks.
This one.
Mm.
That goof Hackett doesn't deserve the Pure Energy song. Give him another song. Every time I hear the music behind his excuse-ridden pressers, I get enraged with anger.
You know what? I think we should do that.
Give him a song with December in the name, since we're going to be well-rested come December. The way they finish it up. God, I'm pissed right now.
Right. All right. I think we open this up to the text line. What's the new song?
Oh, new song. You're right.
There needs to be, like, if Bud Black has to endure,
yep.
You know, that just the... Almost a like a dirge, you know? Like,
hello, darkness.
Yeah. Yes, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've come to talk with you again.
First time. Well, is this the first time in history? First time in Bronco history that they have not scored at least 24 points.
Correct.
Through the first nine?
Correct.
That was planted in my
Wow.
Still remains.
Unbelievable.
We threw out the question that you made the comment, offhand comment earlier in the show that, man, this defense, you're wasting this defense.
Yes.
That this is the kind of defense that would have a nickname for it.
Right.
I think we still give it a nickname.
Okay.
I can't take credit for this one. This is awesome. This should be nicknamed the All for Naught defense.
The All for Naught. I love that. Dude, that'll make it.
It's
I can make that in the broadcast. The all for naught defense.
The all for naught defense.
That could be one of my phrases to pick.
It's historic. It's a historically good defense. They're number one in the league. And the fact that you got to go back to 1946 to find a defense that, despite having such a bad offense to lug around, still was able to put up a number one in the league defense. That makes it historic.
Yes. Yeah, I was looking through
the all for naught defense.
The all for naught defense. I was looking through some of just the through 9 weeks. You know, just the through nine weeks of the NFL season, I get these stat packets from the NFL. And just amazing how many, if you look through this stuff, how many times the Broncos are just littered through this whole stats packet. they're seventh in third down defense. I mean, they've got great third down defense, right? Considering they don't, I mean, they're on the field all the time because, or theoretically, they're on the field all the time because their offense isn't worth a squirt of urine. You know, I mean, you go through red zone defense. You get a number one red zone defense. They've given up five going into Sunday, giving up five red zone touchdown drives, 19 red zone. So 19 red zone appearances. They've let a team in 19 times, number one in the league. They've let a team score five touchdowns, number one in the league. I mean, you want to talk about a team that is just, they're just net passing yards per game, 165.8, number one in the league defense, Denver. It's insane, Mike, how good they are. Like this defense is ridiculous, and yet here we are just pissing it away. The Broncos, number four in the league, in 20-plus yard plays given up. They've only given up 23 big plays. 23 big plays. I mean, there are so many categories. They're a top five defense in, they're number one in the league, first and goal to go. Number one in the league. TD percentage allowed in first and goal to go inside the five. 25%. I mean, I'm sorry. They're the all for naught defense.
All for naught.
I don't know if there's a better one than all for naught.
I love it.
It's a great one.
It'll go down in the annals of Broncos history. The all for naught defense, right up there with the Orange Crush, the no fly zone, the all for naught defense.
Right.
Coming up, what's trending? Our tour around the AFC West. Are we looking at the Beleaguered Bowl? The Beleaguered Bowl is coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Is it a stretch to say that whoever loses next Sunday, that guy gets fired immediately? That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
It looks like cover zero with nobody back in center field, so no one back on the back end.
Wilson looking for Jalen Virgil, wide open inside the 20, and he's gone. First NFL catch is a touchdown for 66 yards.
CBS with the highlight. Okay, it's the definition of insanity. We're doing it all over again, but I gotta ask. The offense got off to a decent start. They had a 10-0 lead. Cortland Sutton was back involved in the offense when Jerry Jeudy went down. Kendall Hinton's out there making plays. Guys are stepping up. And then in the second half, it just died. Why?
Well, I mean,
that's offensive line got really banged up.
I understand that.
Russell Wilson was hit 18 times, sacked 6 times.
I can't wait till I get the coach's tape.
Telestrator Tuesday tomorrow. I cannot wait for you to. I'm serious. I will be bugging you all day long. This is going to be one of those days when I actually respond to texts, and I'm going to be like, "Have you looked at the film yet? Was it Russ's fault? Was it the offensive line's fault? Receivers not getting open? I got to know." Because it has to be. Please tell me the receivers aren't getting open or the offensive line was so bad. Because if it's not, then I don't know where we go with this guy, a quarterback. By the way, he looked pudgy.
Did he?
He looked pudgy.
He looked
husky.
Husky.
And I know husky from years of looking back at me in the mirror. I know what husky looks like. He looks husky.
Guys look like twins.
Yes.
Like you and Dan. It was like that Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. You and Russ. Twins. Yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of digging into that, too, and just seeing exactly how many guys, like, were they open right away? Were they not open right away? Are you passing up? Are you passing up a profit? I'm really interested to see that. I really am, because that, like, those are the things that intrigue me about what they're doing right now.
Under center, Ryan. Again, hands off to Jonathan Taylor. Big run, 40, 45, 50. He breaks it outside. Down the far sideline. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. I-N-D-Y. A 66-yard run to pay dirt for Jonathan Taylor.
Colts Radio. Wow. How about the debut for Jeff Saturday? Fresh off the heels of Bill Cowher on the pregame show on CBS saying the hiring of Jeff Saturday in Indy was a, quote, disgrace to the coaching profession.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that's a little bit...
comment from the chin.
Yeah. Well, you know, those guys had to, quote, unquote, pay their dues.
Right.
And Jeff Saturday paid his 14 years of starting in the National Football League. Like... those are some dues paid. And listen, you're not coming in there to be an expert O-line coach, although you're an expert on offensive line play. You're not there to be an expert quarterback coach. You're not there to be an expert on defense. You're there to say, hey, man, this is what works. This is what I know works, and this is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to, and you're there to lead men. You're there to set the culture. And certainly it looked as though, you know, he did that. Plus, he made the biggest decision, and I was like very hopeful that he'd make this decision because I'd watched enough film to know that Matt Ryan can still play. But insert your starting quarterback back in as your starting quarterback. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. That I was reading up on it. Now, apparently if Ryan plays a certain amount of snaps this year, the Colts could be on the hook for paying him an additional $17 million next year. So that was one of the ideas that Jim Irsay was like, hey, I don't want to pay this guy next year. Don't play him. But I can imagine that Saturday, probably one of the deals that was contingent on him taking this job was I want to be able to put Matt Ryan back in the quarterback.
Right.
And Irsay capitulated.
Yeah, well, I mean, but in that...
That could not have been Frank Reich's idea. All right, I don't want to talk about the Colts. I want to talk about Josh McDaniels and Nathaniel Hackett. We got the 2-7 Raiders against the 3-6 Broncos on Fox with Mark Schlereth in the booth on Sunday.
Yeah.
You get to call what I'm now dubbing it the Beleaguered Bowl. You got two beleaguered coaches squaring off against each other. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that whichever coach loses might be fired by Sunday night. Hyperbole?
No, I don't think it's hyperbole. You've got scandalous. The going back to New England Bowl. Or going back to New England.
Josh could be calling plays for Squishy Mac again by the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, shoot. He could be calling plays for Squishy Mac by Monday. And Aaron Rodgers could get his best friend back.
Exactly. That's what's at stake.
Relax.
Wow. Bill Belichick.
This is the going back to Cali Bowl.
Bill Belichick, right? And Aaron Rodgers are going to be watching this game very closely.
It's that song. Only I'm going, could be going back to New England, could be going back to Wisconsin.
Now Mahomes fires Kelsey. Quick touchdown. Kansas City. A fourth touchdown pass by Patrick Mahomes.
I'm here.
You know, it's so funny. They desperately try to hype up somebody else, right? It's kind of like, you know, Nikola Jokic the last 2 years. Anybody but Nikola. Make the case for this guy. For this guy. Hey, this guy had a good 2 games. Let's put him into the MVP conversation. They tried to do it this year in the NFL, and who will probably be the last man standing when it comes to winning the MVP again?
It's going to be, yeah. I mean, Josh, he had the elbow, I get it, but he's made some bad decisions late in games, interceptions, did it again yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes just keeps on. He's actually, I was doing this thing with Wingo the other day, Trey Wingo, and he was like, Patrick Mahomes is actually, like, putting up better numbers than he did in the year he won the MVP.
Like, I'm here.
He's doing crazy things again. He's just such a little freak show.
Showtime!
Yeah, he's on pace to throw for about close to 6,000 yards and,
oh my gosh,
over 50 touchdowns.
I'm here.
Yes, we know you are. You're not going anywhere.
I'm here.
They're offsides. Hand off McCaffrey to the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco! The 49ers have their first lead of the night.
49er Radio. Because it's Kyle Shanahan, because it's Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm. because of your unabashed love for all things Shanahan,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I watch San Francisco closer than most teams other than the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I'm watching them last night. I'm like, why are they struggling so much? That team is loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded. Why? What are they doing struggling to get past a completely undermanned Charger team?
Well, I mean,
they ended up winning
22-16. I mean, 16 is, you know, you give up only 16, you're going to win a lot of games unless you're the Broncos.
And the all-for-naught defense.
And the all-for-naught defense. They were coming off a bye week, correct? Sometimes you're a little rusty. You need an Allen wrench.
This thing, new microphone has only been in use a week.
And
D-Mac has already had his.
That's not gonna, what you're doing right there is not going to help. It's the Allen.
Let me go to my utility belt and see if I have an Allen wrench handy. Right next to my shark repellent.
I'm going
to
fix that because it's bothering me.
It's bothering me.
I'm going to fix it for you.
D-Mac got his hobbit hands on it yesterday and just manhandled it.
Coach, Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
Have you ever seen him without shoes on? Does D-Mac have hooves?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, little hooves down there.
All right, that is what is trending. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to vent. It's a Bronco Reaction Monday. I'd love to know, what is the emotion? If you could sum up your emotion in one word when it comes to what the Broncos are right now, what would that one word emotional response be? That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Where do you go from here? What do you do next? The numbers coming out of this game, let me just rattle them off. The Broncos have yet to score 24 points in a game this season. No Bronco team in history, Denver Bronco history, has ever gone this deep into a season, 9 games, without scoring at least 24 points in a game. The Denver Broncos are currently the first team since the 1946 Pittsburgh Steelers to be number one in points allowed and dead last in points scored.
Is that good?
Hey, at least they're historic.
That's right.
We have dubbed this defense the all-for-naught defense.
The all-for-naught.
Joining the annals of the Orange Crush and the no-fly zone, this is the all-for-naught defense.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some amazing things, and it's all-for-naught.
That's right.
That'd be N-A-U-G-H-T when you spell it and put it on a bumper sticker.
Oh, just not remember N-O-T?
No.
Or K-N-O-T?
No. No. What else? Oh, check this one out. This one will make you sick. All the Broncos would have had to have done this year was score 18 points a game in regulation. Not 19 points a game.
Just 18.
Not 20.
No.
18. And they'd be 8-1.
Why? Yeah, it's just too bad it wasn't 19 points a game.
Why is that?
Because then you could use the... Then you could use the song, right, from Steely Dan. Hey, 19.
You're going, oh, okay.
Hey, 19.
I thought you were going to go the other 19 song.
What?
Back, classic in the 80s.
Oh, no, 19? Yeah, you could go that way, too. You could go that way,
too. Little anti-war song there. You could do that, too. Why not?
Yeah.
So, the question then, the big question now, that this is the only thing that is left. If you had any hope of making a playoff run, I can't even... I chuckle to think that we even entertained that idea.
We said that this was a must win.
Yes, if you and wanted to make a playoff run.
You're done.
That's done. You're done.
You're done.
You're done. Okay, you're done. So what is the rest of this season about?
The rest of the season, for me, this season's about getting Russ to play better football. Isn't it? And don't you have to get Russ to actually play better football?
It's all about Russ.
Yes.
I mean, at this
That's
point.
That's all it is.
At this point, he's just been, so inept. And I guarantee you, Mike, and again, I haven't watched the coach's tape. So I was just watched the broadcast yesterday, and I get home and I watched the broadcast, but I didn't get through all the highlight, you know, like the replays and all that kind of stuff. So I was just watching play after play after play of the broadcast. So, I can get through it in about an hour and a half with notes and stuff, right? So, I haven't looked at what that looks like from a coach's film standpoint. But I have to imagine. I mean, I just have to imagine there were some that, you know, guys just weren't winning right off the bat. Sometimes that's design. You know, sometimes as a coach, you've got to put in an instant win. You got to put in something underneath and say, okay, here's our first read, boom. Not, you know, four verts, you know, and that type of thing. So you got to put in an instant win, an instant answer. Get the ball right here. Let's stay on schedule. You know, it's amazing how unbalanced you become as a play caller when you're always in second down and long. You're in second down and seven plus, and you become very one-dimensional as a play caller. And so those are some of the things that you know, I look at. The other thing is would be how many of those sacks and how many of those pressures and how many of those 18 hits are directly on three. Like, how many of those things are on him? Like, his want to escape out the back of the pocket. Dude, like, if you truly want to become more like Drew Brees, if that's truly what your thought process was coming here, escaping out of the back of the pocket ain't getting it done. And that's rookie stuff. That's Drew Lock stuff. That's the stuff that frustrated people about Drew Lock. Frustrated, you know, Vic Fangio about Drew Lock. Man, at some point, man, you got to put your big boy pants on.
I've never been more interested in you watching the film because you've shown me in the past this season plays where it was clear there were guys open.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ just missed them.
Correct.
Just missed them. I mean, not missed the throw, just missed them. Didn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I need to know. I need to know if this is a case where guys were open and he just didn't see them, or if this was a case that guys weren't winning, guys weren't open, couple that with the offensive line, the pressure, how that gets into a quarterback's head. Now he's expecting, he's looking for the rush rather than just playing around it or through it. Because if you want to, I'll answer my own question. What's at stake for the rest of the season? You cannot move on from Russell Wilson. His contract doesn't even kick in until after next season.
Big bite.
Big bite. That contract's a big bite. So you have no choice. This is one of those things. This is the classic, hey, we can't fire the whole team, so we got to fire the coach just to change things up. You can't fire the quarterback. So what you will do if you don't see any signs of progress, unfortunately, Nathaniel Hackett, it might not even truly be Hackett's fault. I don't know. Again, I got to wait until you look at the film and tell me what you're seeing. But the problem is for Hackett, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's not his fault. You're expendable. Russ isn't. And all you can do, you have no other reprieve but to just continue to try to bring in a different head coach or a different head coach with a different kind of coordinator and try to find a connection.
Yes. It doesn't matter, Mike. It does not matter if, like, Nathaniel could be doing a great job. He could be doing a great job, you know, constructing plays and doing all that stuff. You have to get better play from your quarterback. That's the way it works. I mean, and if you can't get it from, you know, if you can't get it from Nathaniel Hackett,
yeah,
you got to find where you can get it. And maybe it's maybe it's not firing Nathaniel Hackett. Maybe it's just saying, hey, dude, you're not going to call plays anymore because we're going to move on and we're going to get a different play caller here. Maybe that's, you know, maybe there's a connection there that you don't quite have. Remember last year, I told you this, like with Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur, there was tension there early. It was Nathaniel Hackett that, you know, that connected with Aaron Rodgers. And it was, oh, it's, you know, happy action, fun time, and here we go. And, you know, maybe you got to have that kind of connection. So I'm not saying, like, I hate having the conversation where we got to fire everybody, you know, because I don't like that.
But you understand that when you talk about somebody else doing the play calling, I get it. Just for this season, what do you got to lose? Try something else. Let Clint Kubiak call plays, whatever. See if that does something. See if that changes something. Fine. But you understand the idea of Nathaniel Hackett giving up the play calling and just being the head coach like some football CEO? Why would I want that either? I see a football team that is undisciplined with no accountability. I see a special teams coach who throws up his hands last week and says, What do you want me to do? Bench a core special teams guy?
Right.
You know, there have been so many examples of, you know, Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon, I see him. He didn't get officially charged with a fumble, but the ball came out a couple times yesterday.
Twice.
He fumbled again! And yet, he's their best running back. He is their most talented running back. But that's the problem. Stuff that should be held accountable is allowed to continue to happen because either, well, he may put the ball on the ground at times, but he's still our most talented running back.
Right.
No accountability. Dwayne Stukes comes out. Well, you know, he was over there eating a hot dog, but what do you expect me to do? Bench a core special teams player?
Yes.
No accountability.
That's exactly what I expect you to do.
But this is all happening under Nathaniel Hackett's watch. So why even the idea of him giving up the play calling? Honestly, if he's not going to be the play caller, then he might as well not be your head coach either.
But what if you take that burden off of him so that he is freer to be the head coach?
And what? Hold people accountable suddenly? Demand discipline? Demand punishment for guys who can... How many false start penalties they have yesterday? Four? Four false start penalties yesterday from the offensive line. They lead the league in false starts.
I mean, they lead the league in penalties, right?
Right.
But also false starts?
Yeah. So what's the point? So what's the point? Now, here's the scenario you could be looking at. You have him give up the play calling because what else you got to lose? Let's say Clint Kubiak comes in, starts calling the plays, and you actually see it work. It clicks. Well, now what you do is now you realize, all right, Nathaniel Hackett's not the answer as a play caller. I definitely don't want him to be my football CEO type. Now you go out and hire a head coach who's more of your football CEO type. You elevate Ejiro Evero as your defensive coordinator becomes your head coach, allow Clint Kubiak to be the offensive coordinator, and you move on that way.
Well, why if you turn over play calling duties to Clint Kubiak and it clicks, then why is
well then what does Hackett do?
Well, he's in charge. The head coach. He takes that burden off of his shoulders and now he coaches the entirety of the football team.
And he still doesn't hold people accountable for penalties. He still doesn't hold people accountable for not being out on the field when they're supposed to.
Well, but maybe that's what changes. Maybe he is so focused in trying to fix the offense and he's so, you know, like hyper-focused on that he's not really paying the proper amount of attention that is required to be the CEO of the football team.
Okay, what'd you make of this?
All right.
You were calling a game in Pittsburgh yesterday while this was happening. I know you had a chance to watch the game quickly last night. You'll dive into it more this week. But Andrew Catalan and James Lofton were on the broadcast. And they shared from their pregame meeting with Hackett. Going back to when Hackett hired Jerry Rosberg as the eye in the sky game management help.
Right.
Hackett told the announcers that he said he gets so emotionally invested in games that when things don't go well, it was affecting him when it came to the next play or the overall game management.
Right.
They was getting so emotional about things when things didn't work out that he needed somebody to be kind of a calming voice in his head.
I was booing myself.
That's a shocking admission. I don't know if I want to be admitting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not.
Sometimes, that I get so emotional
right.
and thus so rattled and lose sight of what was going on that I needed to have somebody upstairs kind of as a calming presence. That is not a good look.
No, it's a bad. That is a bad admission. That's one of those you'd like to have back. Sometimes, you know, we want, I always say this, we want our athletes or we want our head coaches to be authentic or to be real or to be honest until they're honest. And they were like, ooh, that probably wasn't something you should have said. So I'm with you on that, Mike. That's not a great admission. And this is one of those things, like, one of the reasons that I studied and prepared so hard as a player, because I was that way too. If I made a mistake, I would beat myself up to the point where I was going to make another mistake along the way. I didn't have that cornerback mentality. I didn't have that quarterback mentality where you throw a pick and you're like, all right, whatever.
Right.
I don't have that in me. I don't. And at least I knew that about myself. And so then it was, I'm never going to make a mess. You know, every now and again, you're going to get beat physically. Because those dudes are strong and they're good players and all that stuff. But I was never going to make a mental mistake I was never going to have a missed assignment because I knew that I would beat myself up forever over that. And I knew that I would probably have two or three other plays in that drive that weren't game changing plays, but they were not clean. They weren't good. And so I resonate with that, what he said, but you're the head coach. That can't be the case for you. It just can't.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.